Hello, I'm Rhythian Knight, and this is Thai Hi-Fi. In this episode, I'll be speaking to someone I've greatly admired and respected over the years, and I'm very fortunate now to know her as a friend, M. Plantarose Magenta of West Edge Forest near Allapool. And as you'll soon hear, M was really keen to talk about something she's particularly passionate about now, and I thought what better way to launch the first episode of the podcast by talking about fire. So, welcome, Em. It's really nice to have you with us this evening.
Hello.
So, I know where you are, but for the benefit of the listeners, you're up near Allapool Way. What can you describe the scene for me this evening? How are things where you're situated?
Yep. It's quite a calm evening near the loch. I can go out of the window through the trees. We're in a forest, and onto the loch brim. I'm in my cabin, which is just a single room, kind of upstairs. It's like at the top of a barn. It's about 4 meter by 5 meter, totally off grid. So I've just got a couple of wee LED lights running off the 12 volts and a few candles. The wood stove's on. It's cozy, super cozy. Love my cabin.
Lovely. And Loch Broom, it's been a little while since I've been on the shores of Loch Broom. It can be pretty wild up there this time of year. What's the weather doing with you this evening?
Yeah, it's been so far, cross fingers, so far this year. We've only had to take the kitchen tarp down a couple of times. We've got, mostly I live outside, so we've got lots of different covered outside spaces. And the outdoor kitchen, which serves kind of groups and people who are visitors who are staying and volunteers, it's got a tarp over the big fireplace, and yeah, it can get a little bit flappy at times, so we just roll it back.
Having visited, and I lament the opportunity not to have visited this year. I think haven't been to your place that many times, Em, but I think at least once a year for some time, and this 2020 has been a little bit of an exception, but I know that you are the queen of tarps and tying things down. And yeah, I guess when you're recreating that scene for the listeners, I have quite a clear picture of your spot in my mind's eye. I'm sure there's been lots of changes, as there always are, since I've last visited.
I think, you know, ironically, I think this has been the year where most has happened here. This is the year where the tarp kind of structures have really settled into a good design and kind of it's kind of seems to be solidifying here this year.
Talking to most of my neighbors and friends too, there's been loads of time for yard work this year. I guess with the restrictions for those people who were fortunate enough to have access to land, there's been lots of room for necessary play.
Necessary play and not get, I tend to get like sidetracked or like called away to do work elsewhere. And like most recently for the last 3 years on our community island, but this year that wasn't really happening. So yeah, I was like, I'll just get on and do my things here.
Yeah.
And it's really shown fruit this year.
Right on. Well, listen, before this evening's podcast is done, I want you to remind me to give a little shout out to Isle Martin and all the amazing stuff that's going on out there. But tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about a new development. You know, I just been creating a little advert for the podcast tonight, and one of the words in it was, what are people doing that's really bringing them alive with their hands at the moment, and you know, what you're passionate about. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you tonight because I know that you're particularly passionate about something you've just created. So let's spill the beans, Em. Let's get going.
Well, if you told me just even just three months ago that I'd be be the queen of a cob oven here in the yard. I would have gone, hey, how? And it's really, really quite a hearth. It's a beautiful, beautiful structure that it came about through a farmer neighbor who in the past has held outdoor education and rural skills pupils from our high school locally in Nullarpool.
Oh, I
can no longer do it. That's Lucy Beattie. And she can no longer do it because she's full-time university doing PhD. So she put in for some funding and told the school to come here. Funding was successful, and I was like, what am I going to do with these S3s, high school senior threes, so about 14-year-olds. I was like, what should I do? It's like, oh, cob oven. Mm-hmm. Would that work? 4, 5, 6 different sessions over 6 weeks. Yeah, this could work. November, October, might be a bit cold, but yeah, we can work this. And it was just miraculous. We had groups of about, 9, 10 pupils and a couple of, the minibus driver and teacher come for a Thursday afternoon sessions. And we got cobbing. That was something completely new. The first lot, they arrived in white shoes, hadn't really been told what to expect, and their white trainers, cob, messy, but they left with tribal clay marks on their faces and really, really full of energy. They've been really miserable in school. Atmosphere has been appalling, and just hating the whole lockdown thing, not being able to do this, that and the other, having to wear masks. So they'd arrive actually looking pretty glum. And it was just great to see them just mucking into this kind of just really earthy, hands-on, body, just letting it all go.
Yeah.
And so end of 4 weeks, just managed to create this beautiful structure from clay that we dug here, mostly here, somewhere a bit further along the glen, some clay donated from the local art centre and from Highland Stoneware, the pottery, just kind of mix it up a bit, add a bit of sand, straw from a crofter, and this the main structure for the oven, because it's mighty wet here, so we knew we needed to cover it straight. We actually built the structure before. We had a ex-army trailer, just a single axle, but with big wheels, chunky wheels, very strong frame trailer that has been sitting, not quite found its role. It kind of been a bit of this and been a bit of that, and hasn't really found its real solid role. And that might make quite a good base. So Sean, who's a woodworker here, we put our heads together and came up with a design for a roof set on the trailer, with a old wrinkly tin, one from some other project. Somebody had got a studio re-roofed, so we got all the old tin. Made a nice frame, nice roof. A couple of pallets, one turned upside down on top of the other, and reinforced with to hold the sand and the bottles. And then the oven on top of that.
Right on. Sounds rinky.
Yeah, it just works, because we will be able to move it around the yard a bit. It won't go far.
Oh, gosh.
So it will go around the forest, because we've got about 14 folk living here in the forest in 6 different households. There's outdoor nursery as well. So there's a fair amount of kind of food making and gathering that that goes on.
Yeah, I guess you don't want a pizza restaurant solely in your own house. You just spend your entire days cooking pizza for other people. You can move it to other places.
Yeah. I mean, the last two sessions we had with the pupils were pizza making sessions. So they came and we just like 20 pizzas, just rattled them out. And because the oven was then on, I was like, got dough left over. We've got the oven's hot. Just ringing up neighbours and saying, oven's hot. And coming along. And and the kids would come along for brunch the next morning and shove some banana and chocolate pasties in. And then there's a chicken needing cooked. So that goes in at another time. And it just becomes this kind of social focus, and it's a big, warm heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, beating heart outside with this nice covered roof. So you just sit in there, sit under the roof, just watching the flames and feeling cozy.
Mm.
It's so much more than just an oven.
I could feel your enthusiasm right now. That's so great. What are you burning in there? What's your fuel?
Rhododendron. That's the best. It's we've this forest that we live in is a former forest commission, so it's spruce, Sitka spruce with a rhododendron understory,
mm-hmm.
mostly, and we're converting that to very very mixed, diverse fruit and nut, edible forest timber, coppice, hazels, alder, willow, basket willows, you know, mm-hmm. gardens, production lists. Yeah. So we've got a lot of roadie to make good use of.
Yeah, those exotics got to go somewhere, eh? And now I've heard of people making good quality charcoal with it. Super dense, isn't it, the wood? But never for cooking. That's cool. Is it working?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's degrees within an hour, so you know, there's no problem with. Oh, it's got to be oak or anything. And there's also a question, rhododendron toxic smoke. But no, it's you know, all wood smoke is a bit toxic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the there's a particular chemical, gryano something or other, I can't remember its name, but it actually burns off at, you know, 200 degrees. So
you'll be going way hotter than that, huh?
Yes, over 600. I got one of these laser thermometers, yeah. And it keeps...
Here's a curiosity I've got, right? It's kind of wheeling up a little bit back to the process of making the oven. If you've got a Glum S3 rocking up in really white trainers and you're presenting them with... I guess you're not even presenting them with a pizza or the promise of pizza. You're presenting them with, like, a bucket of mud and a plastic tarp. Like... Where does the turning point emerge from, like, glum to getting involved? Because presumably there's a lot of work in raising a structure like this.
Yeah, it's pretty physical work. Well, laughing at them is the first thing. It's like, what? white trainers, really? Did you know you were coming here? It's like, white. Okay. I've got some boots you can borrow, and so take them into the store and pick them out with all sorts of not quite fitting, maybe not matching old wellies with holes. Yeah. And it's got a hole in it. Okay, you can have a plastic bag for inside your boot.
Okay, you break the ice with costume.
And then, exactly, dress them up. And cold hands, marigolds. You brought marigold gloves with, you know, if everyone's wearing great big yellow gloves on their hands, there's a quite a degree of humor about.
yeah and
also sorry. What helped also was we've got super freestanding wood-fired water heater that lives outside, and it's a Bulgarian construction, and you put a few sticks in the bottom and you get 80 liters of hot water. You know, warm hands up, wash off tools and wash everything with with hot water.
So that sounds like a gadget. I'd like one of them this time of year where I'm at.
Yep. it's a godsend. I got one for the island, and then got one here.
Just out of interest, what are they called? And I'm going to ask Santa for one of those bad boys.
Yeah, no, I recommend everyone should have one. It's called an Eldom, E-L-D-O-M,
mm-hmm.
and wood-fired water heater, wood-fired boiler.
Yeah.
Behind you.
Right on. Okay, so yeah, so I'm getting this. So keeping them warm and dry enough and the ability to warm up, that would cheer me up. What are teenagers drinking these days? Do they drink tea or did you just have liters of ginger?
They weren't really. It was only a sort of 2-hour session. They just had their lunch just before they came, so they wouldn't normally be expecting to have any breaks during mm-hmm. that time. But yeah, they had offered hot water, and lemon verbena was the main kind of herb that's on offer generally here, because right. I grow it in the tunnel.
Yeah,
and it's to go down well with everyone.
Uh-huh.
Very soothing.
So I've managed to get my feet and my hands into cob before, but for the benefit of the listener who's like, what are they talking about? Could you just sort of spell out what cob is just for a second, so we. Yeah.
Well, I had to learn this from scratch, so I was a crash course in clay. I experienced a bit. I've dug a bit up here and played around with it, sticking some stones together and packing some a wood fired bath that I'd made, and I could see. I had an experience of how it would set and how well it quite held together when it the heat. But to do this, you know, more serious structure, kind of with a bit of integrity and, you know, maybe a bit more energy put into it. I kind of watched a lot of videos, did a lot of digging up of the cob, and I luckily had some really great volunteers here who were willing to, yeah, get in there with the grubber and the wheelbarrow and wheelbarrowing down these, thankfully it was uphill a bit, the source of the clay, down to the yard, onto a tarp, and then just kind of processing it, picking out the stones,
mm-hmm.
Just playing around with it, sort of squashing it. At big tarps, I used thick black plastic. We have a lot of that left over from the builders at the other end of the forest.
Right on.
And spreading it on the tarp and then just kind of squishing it about. And when you work clay like that, when you trample it and work it with your hands, it something happens. It changes its whole structure and things come into alignment, and that's where it's getting its strength. So for the oven's built up in layers, about 3 inches thick. You make a form with sand. We made a form with sand. You can use your kind of other forms, like a gymnast's ball or just other things to make that shape. But we use sand.
Uh-huh.
And then made the first layer has more sand in the mix with the clay. So you're kind of using the clay really like a like, you know, cement in between stones, and the sand is the tiny, tiny, tiny stones, so it can stand the greater heat that's inside the oven.
Yeah, yeah. And what sort of sand are we talking about? Like,
it was just coarse, fairly coarse kind of builder sand, just unwashed.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was washed actually from the local quarry. They were happy to just give us a few sacks of it. And then the next layers, the outer layers that went on were done with straw. So straw trampled into the clay, and that gives the insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of trampling the straw, as much straw in, until you kind of can't really trample any more in.
Yeah.
And the tarp part of it's really fun. So you've got your mats of, you know, maybe a wheelbarrow load of clay and straw, and you're folding. You're pulling the tarp over it and trampling it through the tarp, and just kind of, I kept referring to it as, you know, like baking, like mixing, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, mixing cake ingredients together. nice. squashing and folding. So there's a lot of that going on.
That's always my most abiding memory of getting my feet into cob with other people, is the dancing on the mix and mixing it and turning it together. Yeah, I really enjoy that. Did you have any music on? Did you play music?
Not at that time, because I don't have a good system, and that's something really lacking here. You came to mind quite a lot, because I remember your little 12-volt system that you used to have around about the place. I've got such rubbish playlists as well. I'm not very good at that side of things. But there was a bit of singing.
Nice.
Banter.
Yeah. You know, Em, I did a little show the other night. My electricity meter broke. Yeah, so suddenly we were, no means to cook on our electric stove. No light, no form of heating. It was like about as resilient as a chocolate teapot, you know. So contrasting that with where you are right now, I just wondered whether you had any thoughts or musings on fire. Because when I think of your place, it's like there has always been a fire of some kind. And tell me about fire a little bit, Em, because I'm missing one right now.
Have you not got a fire in your place then?
Mm-mm. No, I think for the first time in 20 years, we are on the grid. Very, I say traditionally.
And when it goes down, oops, you know, that's not a very resilient feeling place to be. Yeah, no, I've always had my own wood burning stoves, and, you know, in more recent years, just getting more wood-fired systems set up. So, because we're growing more trees and we're fixing more carbon than we can possibly ever burn off. We're just burning the scraps, really. So my wood stove in the cabin here does my hot water. I've just got a pan of hot water on it, because our water supply is not fantastically reliable. So I haven't kind of plumbed in the back boiler in the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a space heater for this space here, this 20 square meters. I dry a lot of things around it. The stove here. And it would give light, but the front glass front got broken. Replaced it with a sheet of copper for now. And then we've got the wood-fired boiler, an outside fire in the outside kitchen. But since we've had the cob oven, virtually all the cooking is being done in the oven, which is just across the yard from the outside kitchen. So it's all very accessible. And one of the main tables is a cart, a horse-drawn cart. So that can actually be moved around next to the oven as well. And it's just about to have its own freestanding roof.
Okay.
These kind of mobile setups for rolling out pizza dough on and having big spreads of food on, and just move around the yard, move around the forest.
Lovely, lovely. Listen, it's doing me good here in these images, Em. As I say, it's a little bit more wholesome than an electric four-ring cooker, like.
Yeah. And I love just being able to do this wood myself. You know, I did my chainsaw training quite a few years ago now, and it's a great stuff to trade in as well. Wood is, because I do a lot of barter, and folk come and ask if I've got a bit of this sort of timber or a bit of extra firewood, and my mechanic, he looks after my truck, he's happy to take firewood and come and chop up his own.
Nice.
Very blessed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking, I have a copy of Kiko Denza's Build Your Own Earth Oven kicking around somewhere, and there's a section in the back there I'm going to send you. And it talks about the kind of starting with pizza, and then there's these like different things to cook, as the temperature decreases in the oven, and mm-hmm. all the way down to at the end where you put your wood in for the next firing, so it's like completely dry.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Would that be of use? I guess you're going to get there by practicing anyway, but I'd like to send that on if I may.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm really really grateful to all the people who've done all this kind of work and experimenting, because you know, watching those videos online, I was like, we're kind of be able to start at a much higher level now, because mm-hmm. these people have already done this work and done these trials, and we can kind of take this on and maybe advance it a little bit.
Right, so on. Yeah.
Our the trailer and roofs assemblage that we've done for the cob oven has already got wood stores, drying racks, wooden hooks. We kind of like making wooden hooks here from wee branches. It's got the handmade peels and brushes and pokers and kindling and tinder and
beautiful
straight pot and kettle. You know, we're just constantly, oh, what could we do next? I wonder if I could fit a bed above the oven. it's so cozy.
Yeah.
Got lights, fairy lights on there now.
Lovely. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. You know, when I go back to Wales, there's a folk museum called St. Fagans, and they've recreated this kind of terraced house setup, you know, and you've got a terraced house from the 20s, and then next door to that is the 30s and 40s and 50s, and on it goes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the terrace is an old school oven, and apparently, like back in the day, it would be number three's turn on Wednesday to do their whole batch of bread for the week, and then Thursday would be number four and number five, and so on and so forth. You know, so it's really nice for me to hear about you having a kind of a village oven going on at yours, and you've got all of the other households on the croft using it, because that's the real deal. You know, it's great.
Several people who've come, we had a community pizza day, it was just 2 days after the final coat went on, so after the four sessions with the pupils, we had a community pizza day as part of a kind of green health week in Ullapool.
Mm-hmm.
So that fed about 50 people, and I remember some folk who spent time in France, I think it was, and they say, oh yeah, there was an oven in the village, and you know, people would come and bring their bread to bake. So it's very much and quite a few folk have gone away and said, right, we're going to plan ours, you know, we'll start getting the materials together, going for our clay.
This might be a subject for another time, Em, but we've started grinding our own flour here at home. We've managed to source some Scottish flour, and we're grinding that up for our breads and bases and all that sort of thing.
What are you using? What sort of mill have you got?
What is the name of it? Bit of product placement now. We should be getting hard cash for this bit. It's a hand mill. Yeah, it's called a Wonder Mill Junior or something. I think, to be honest, it's the only one I could find that wasn't like insanely expensive. But people are clearly into it, because there was like a bicycle attachment and this and that attachment, you know, for grinding it up.
No, well, I mean, also with the pupils, I find that the kids love grinding things. You know, I've got a quern that I use for grinding up the chick food for babies, and I got it from way back from on a farm, and I've just always used it just for grinding up, mostly feed for animals and things, but the kids love it. And then I've got a mill as well, a hand mill for wheat, and you know, the grinders for mince grinders. I use them for grinding up like chickpeas for making hummus.
Right on.
And the kids are always making potions and putting all sorts of things through them. So I mean, like, you were talking about pedal power. It's exactly the sort of good use of energy. So I'm trying to work out how to put a sound system onto the cob oven. I regret not putting a hot water system in.
Right, like some sort of coil or something.
Indeed, a copper pipe just coiled through round the dome.
Wow.
As an inner layer. I'm working out how to put in thermoelectrics. I don't know if I can retrofit them or where. Yeah, I see this oven as maybe, you know, the first trial.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've generated a lot of enthusiasm locally, and I guess if you are having all these different folk around for pizza, then folk are going to want to have their own too, right? You could you could have them all stationed all over the place. Pizza trail.
Every few houses should have them, you know. There's quite a few folk have gone away from here and going, oh well, we live quite near to each other, yeah, we could have it in your garden. And it's a lovely thing to do.
Mm.
And I'm quite surprised how much I'm using it. You know, it's dark nights. It's almost the darkest, and it's just become this lovely focus in the evening. I was sitting watching the flames, watching, what's I doing, cooking some bread, some rolls from the leftover pizza dough, and just watching them rise and feeling really cozy. And then I turn around, it's quite chilly on the other side, and I flashed my thermometer over to the other side of the yard. It was degrees. It was super cozy inside the oven, just next to the oven.
Lovely. You know, I was thinking a little bit about children or youth just vicariously getting a sense of the kind of atmosphere you've created there, I guess. You know, when I sometimes reflect on how on earth I've got from being a 16-year-old lad in South Wales to the type of life I'm living now. And actually, it was stumbling upon fringe places like yourselves where there was cool things happening and manual things turning. And you know, I always remember the first time I came across a pedal powered sound system. I'd never even encountered alternative energy before, but to see the kind of fun and atmosphere and culture has been really impactful. So you know, Em, I guess as we come to a close tonight, I really want to thank you for the space that you've created there. And I know it's, you know, primarily there for you and your family, but you're doing wonderful things for your local community, and I salute you.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. That's really, really encouraging. Because I mean, I do it for our family. I've got, you know, four grandsons here now, but you know, it's the sharing of it that makes it actually even more special, and just seeing kind of that intrigue on people's faces. And helping folk come here and they stay and to learn a bit more about off-grid living, just simple living, you know, how to light a fire outside. There's, you know, many people are just have lost that skill.
Yeah.
If I can help serve in the world like that, then I'm really happy. It makes me happy.
Wonderful. So, Em, thank you so much for speaking to me this evening. Before we sign off, is there anything you want to mention? I know we talked about Isle Martin earlier, and you don't have to talk about that, but is there any signposting you'd like to... I'm going to just leave a bit of opportunity for that if you have a want or a need.
Yeah, well, to say, I mean, Isle Martin, that would be a nice... Maybe you can talk about that in another episode, because It's pretty inspiring in itself.
Right on.
As being one of the kind of oldest woodland restoration projects in the country. It's nearly 40 years that the trees have been growing there. And it's community owned. But for now, I think signing off here from the West Edge is to invite folk to have a really, really beautiful solstice and to do a little ritual maybe. On that, if they find a fire on solstice on the Monday, next Monday, and just write something down that they'd like to shed, release from this previous year. Write it down on a wee leaf or a piece of paper and just chuck it in the fire.
Right on.
Just go through a wee bit.
Good one. All right. Em, from the West Edge, thanks ever so much. And I look forward to speaking again soon. Good night.
Yeah, good. Bye.
So, there you go. That was Em with a little solstice invitation to light a fire or a candle and release solid sagely advice for this dark season. I've been Rithian Knight. This has been Thai Hi-Fi. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to like and subscribe and let your friends know. Nice one. See you next time.